Joel Pearl. Welcome to Sunday Night Wrestle Talk with Tim and Joel calling in the ring.
What? Why are we doing this in a southern draw?
I don't know. I was thinking about fried chicken.
Oh, man, I think about fried chicken all the time.
Like, too often. You ready to also solve the greatest mystery in wrestling fandom?
Yes.
Is the milk I put in my protein shake expired? I think I saw a chunk, but I'm not 100% sure because it was, you know, in my peripheral. I was just dumping out the rest of a milk jar. Anyway, let's find out.
This is riveting content. It's in your protein.
It's okay. Chip. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay.
I mean, listen. At the end of the day, if it's like a day old, I think you're fine. It's
no, but that's. I thought I saw a chunk fall out, which is more than a day old. That's like you don't want to be chewing your milk.
I don't know about that. I hear that sour milk can be pretty okay.
That's literally the like an example of what people use for things that are not okay is sour milk. It's gross.
Like what? Give me an.
It tastes like vomit.
Everything tastes like vomit if you try hard enough.
Oh my God. All right. I also shoved a giant hunk of meat in my mouth the minute we put up the 1 minute warning. So I was like, are we going to make it? Am I going to have a mouthful of meat by the time this show starts? And I didn't, I did it. Praise me.
Praise Tim and his giant mouthful of meat.
Thank you.
While you're there,
we can talk about wrestling now.
While you're there, toss us a thumbs up on the video. If you're watching us live at youtube.com/TimandJoelPod, would you? If you're doing the audio thing, go ahead. 5-star reviews. You know what that does? It gets us a little bit closer to talking about wrestling with your friends. And on top of that, you leave a comment on the video. It also pushes us into your friend's ears, your friend's eyes, all the fun stuff that we can do. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't already, okay? Get in there. Also, yes, Mod Mike said it. Join the Discord. It's free. There's a link in the video description of the YouTube video. Again, audio listeners, come and join us sometime. We're live every single Wednesday and Sunday at noon Eastern, unless we get wonky and decide to do a late night show, which I don't know. Those seem to do okay.
Yeah. You also get the free perk in the Discord of seeing what video games I'm playing.
That's true. For me, it's mostly Switch games.
Oh, that won't show up on the Discord.
I mean, if I try hard enough, they will.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
There you go. There's a lot of wrestling. We're lucky. We get to do a Sunday show where we talk about Dynamite and Rampage, and they will not have been like almost a week old, at least in the case of Dynamite.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is a fresh treat.
Obviously, the big news coming out is that cowboy-ish promo from Adam Page. I want to get there.
Modern classic.
I don't know if you're being sarcastic or not.
I'm not.
You really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Did you hate it?
No, I loved it. I was okay, not being facetious.
No, we're on the same page. It felt special. It is quintessentially now because you know the rules for who controls the FCC control that in the U.S.
Yes.
Like what goes on TV. So they changed the rules recently, and you know Seth Rollins had his little fun with it, but. This took it to another. It just felt special. It's quintessentially now because of by virtue of what they're allowed to say now, but it also just totally organic, like just a crowd chant that evolved into a big part of this guy's identity. And it felt really, really special.
It really did. You know, just taking a look at the promo itself, like I'm not going to deconstruct it, but like the first thing he said, he gave you everything up until now. He gave you a reason not only to cheer for him, but he also gave you a full synopsis of what's going on and why he is in the situation he's in. Like he says, when my friends and I left Ring of Honor in New Japan, we believed we could change the world, but I think it changed us. Like yeah. A little thing like that, right? I told you guys I'd be the first AEW world champion and I lost to Jericho. I lost to Pac. I started to feel like I lost more and more. I lost my confidence. I lost my friends. Truthfully, I lost myself. He lost his smile. But anyway, so he comes back and then he does this whole tirade about like, that's cowboy shit. And he basically gave, like you said, a chant that was started by the fans. He just made it into an entire, like an entire persona, an entire id. Like it's his reason for being. It's great. I was a big fan of that.
Yeah. I like it. You'd showed me some of these like classic promos that I hadn't really seen for a show that we never got off the ground, but it was just like, when you showed me the Dusty Rhodes one, like Hard Times, it was just like you could just, there's a vibe to things and it felt special.
It did.
You know. Like.
And Caleb in our chat saying he's toggling between us and the football. It says TK is 1,000 times a better wrestling promoter than a football team owner. Boy, how is he
outshining your daddy.
Oh dear. Well, maybe if he put some work into his full gear card, it would come in to the Jags too. Or maybe if he worked harder on the Jags than he did his full gear card, rather. Did you see that? Did you see that tweet?
The photo of the freeze frame.
Yeah.
Like, I guess he just doesn't realize that stuff's being shot in like 4K now.
Everyone's just zooming in, just be like, oh, every match is right here.
It was so weird to see a grown ass, like, I don't think he's not a billionaire, but access to billions of dollars type of person who's carrying around a paper notebook that looks like a grade school child's fantasy. Like, it looks, like, yeah, I'll make these guys fight, and I'll make these guys fight. And his handwriting looks like crap. It's just like, wow.
The worst handwriting. I have bad handwriting. He took it to a whole new level for me.
He just looks like a giddy little boy. It's like, wow, okay. You have $1 billion. Just make some, like have someone write out your ideas for you.
I don't think anyone could do it as fast as he does because he's going at, you know, 200 miles a second. His brain is firing off on all cylinders. But anyway, I had a good laugh seeing that card. And you know what? After Dynamite this past week, a lot of it's starting to come true. So yeah,
are they going to switch it up now because he ruined it?
I don't think he will. I think maybe part of it was supposed to be found.
Yeah.
And I think that even if it wasn't, once it was, the amount of people who are actually going out and finding that stuff are so few and far between.
Yeah, it's not important. It really isn't important.
So Hangman says, you know, to me, that's cowboy shit. You fall off, you keep riding. He says he's not a fortune teller. I'm not going to predict how full gear will end, but I think you all believe in me. And for the first time in my life, I do too. That's a story to tell. He fell off the wagon and he is getting back on the horse, I should say, metaphorically speaking. And he's going to go and give his all at full gear. I like that. Yep. I like that kind of baby face promo.
Why not? It got me back into this story because, like I said, they had to do like a summary because we deviated from it for a little while and I was nervous about how they were going to pull it back. But I mean, he needed to do something special and he walked out and he did it. And then, you know what? Hot damn.
Do you remember back when this would have been it all out? You had Adam Cole show up. You had Daniel Bryan show up, or Bryan Danielson. I'm never going to get it right. Sorry, folks. I'm going to try. Bryan Danielson shows up, Adam Cole shows up, and then we had Punk show up a few weeks before that, and everyone was getting like, oh my God, all these big names, Adam Page is going to get lost in the shuffle, he's not in the ring, he's not in the promotion, what's going to happen? Now look at where all three, or really all four of these guys are. You got Hangman in the main event of the next pay-per-view, which was what people wanted it all out, granted, but things changed. You got Bryan Danielson, who is going off and having these ridiculous matches.
It's just incredible match after incredible match on every single show. Like,
and we're going to get into those matches soon because he had two back-to-back great matches with Bobby Fish and Minoru Suzuki. Like, but that's what he wants to do. He wants to go. Bryan wants to go out and be the wrestler he couldn't be for the last few years. Mm-hmm. And I understand that feeling. Bryan, wrestling is creative. It's a creative outlet. And it's not so much the championships or being the guy. It's more about the creativity and the art form of wrestling. So for him, that's what he's doing now. And then you've got, you know, the story of Adam Cole is a story of the Elite and coming back to the Elite after so many years away and how they want to play that role. So that's another one. And then you've got Punk. Which Punk is another interesting case because he comes back after, 7 years away? And what do? First of all, they shove him in your face at every opportunity imaginable.
Like, and they're like clearly kind of self-aware about it, but still are like, don't care. Like, they open Dynamite with, it's like, oh, and then it's like, get old. And then he sits down on commentary and he just like redeems JR for 2 hours.
He was really good. I got to say, like, Punk really is good at commentary.
Like, he's not bad. He was saying some weird stuff at times. Like, he almost said WWE, but he stopped himself, which is, you know, better.
Yeah. He did call him Daniel Bryan. He did it. It's fine.
Yeah. So did I. He's fine. It's fine. I am getting a little sick of it, but it's okay.
No such thing. And yeah, and the other thing with Punk is that while he is, quote, being shoved down people's throats, but, you know, whatever, his matches are growing. He's taking on the younger talent. He's having great matches with the younger talent, putting over the younger talent while winning. But also, you can see that the matches are getting a little bit longer each time. And he's trying to grow
back into the wrestler he was. Yeah.
Which is great. That's a story to tell. He wasn't thrust into the main event. Bryan wasn't thrust into the main event. Adam Cole wasn't thrust into the main event. They brought back Hangman, or Hangman came back in time to be in the spot that he originally had before he decided to go home and be with his partner while she had a kid. He announced they had a boy. Congratulations. And that's the story of Hangman Page right now. And the rest of the people who came in the last month. Very different positions on the card and different stories.
They're being managed very well. It's good to see.
So let's talk about Rampage.
All right.
So we open up. We had Ty Conti and Santana Garrett.
Yep.
I don't know if you've seen this match before. I have.
Yeah.
It happened in NXT, and it was a match that looked like it was happening underwater. This time,
I
don't
know. Very slow.
It was very slow. This time around, better, but not by much. I don't know. Yeah, I don't agree with a lot of the people online saying that this was an excellent match and it was so much better. And
who's saying that? I think Bleacher Report gave it like a C- or something.
I love Doc. Doc also loves to shit on certain things that I don't agree with. So either way, I watched the match. The match was fine. It didn't blow me away, but for some reason, some people were like, that was amazing. And I said that, but it's not. Santana works slow. Ty needs someone to work quickly with. She can kick in the face very easily, which eventually she did, and it was kind of interesting. That's what Ty Conti does. She kicks you in the face.
Yeah. Some people got to get kicked in the face.
That's right. And so Ty Conti wins. What do you think? Are we starting to move forward a little bit with Ty Conti in the women's division? Are we pushing her upwards? What do you think? What do we want to do?
I'm more than Santana Garrett, but not like, I don't think she's there yet. They'll keep looking at it.
That was her debut for Santana, or at least her first appearance in a very long time.
Exactly. So it's like, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it's no surprise she went over here, but like, no, I think she's still building.
Yeah, we've got some time. I can see them putting her up to, I mean, she's had world title opportunities, hasn't she? She had a match like a year ago.
I think so. Like, there's enough. There are a lot more women in the division now, so I think they can continue to in the finals. I don't know about that.
I don't want that. Ty versus Ruby in the final. I don't know about that for the TBS.
People really love Ty Conti. She's fine.
She's like, you know what it comes down to? She's beautiful, she's dangerous, and she has a lot of potential. I think she is really the first NXT crossover that never had a chance, and people have latched on to that almost as like this proof positive that AEW is a better training ground than NXT, which we've talked about. That's not always true. Like, everyone learns differently and everyone takes in differently. Ty's just a positive aspect of coming into AEW and learning from different people that really made her a better performer, a better worker.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, I think that's a lot of that is informal at AEW, whereas things are formalized with like job roles in NXT. I think like here's the thing. In an informal situation, it's based on like social dynamics. So if someone just doesn't like vibe with you, if you're just not buddies, you're not gonna learn the same things that someone who like if Tay's made a lot of friends, then she's in a better position than some other random greenhorn. So you can't just say that it's like a training thing, but she's improved. She will continue to improve. I don't think she's like main event material yet, but working on it.
Yeah, we're gonna keep growing with her. I mean, she's obviously on TV every single week, not just on the YouTube shows, but clearly she's on the TNT shows. So there's an investment in her, which is great. She's a lot better than she was. I just think that there's still a lot of development to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine with me. Speaking of development, Bobby Fish and Lee Moriarty, a very fun match, a very good match. He got, what, 8 minutes out of it, they said on commentary.
Yeah,
I mean, listen, Bobby Fish, Dad Rock enthusiast Bobby Fish. good on him. And then Lee Moriarty.
What song is that? It sounds like a Danzig or a Misfits jam.
It's like, it kind of is. Yeah. He's had it since like, it's the Red Dragon theme when him and Kyle O'Reilly were a tag team in Ring of Honor. I was surprised that they got that theme. I thought Ruckus maybe would do a new one because people don't really know that music unless they're hardcore Ring of Honor
fans. It just sounds like Danzig, which makes me like immediately like, ugh.
When I heard it the first time, I was just like, really? They're doing this one? I guess they're hoping that people sing the woe parts.
I don't know. People don't sing the woe parts for that no more.
It's such a unless dad rock song.
I used to like the Misfits Danzig. And I still did like their music, but like they're associated with a lot of people I don't like, including Danzig and the Misfits.
So anyway, the match goes on. A good one. Again, as expected, a very, very quick-paced match. Two guys throwing each other around. One thing I liked, when we got to the end, it was that exploder suplex into the ropes.
Yeah.
That's my biggest fear in wrestling, because those ropes do not have a lot of give when you hit your legs on it. So watching someone take a rope spot like that, it hurts like a bitch. But and then they got the roundhouse. Yeah, exactly. It was a good match. And again, Lee Moriarty has so much time to develop and to be known on AEW programming. He's got a huge amount of potential, got a huge fan following, but Fish needed that win to go into
the especially to go up against Dan. Yeah.
Yeah, Brian. Of course, Tony Khan is a huge Ring of Honor mark. Exactly. So they had to bring that music over. I'm trying to think who else. Well, then why couldn't they bring Adam Cole's old music over, huh?
I think you know why.
No, not that. I'm not talking. No, there's another one, but this is a better song for him.
No. I'm saying they needed to replicate what he did in NXT because his star 100%. Potential was enhanced there. They had to get the boom.
Yes. It's all about the boobs. That's right. Yeah. I forgot. Still a very good match. Go back. It's on the buy-in. Bobby Fish over Lee Moriarty. Again, Lee has so much time to develop and so much potential therein. I think as he kind of gets used to the crowd, it's going to be awesome. Moriarty's officially signed, which is
cool. As is Daniel Garcia, if you didn't see that. It's very exciting. Did Daniel
Garcia get his graphic?
They put him up on the roster page.
So he's on the roster page. Okay, I'll take it. I mean, we'll see. The graphic usually tells all, but we'll find out soon enough. And then we got to that main event from the night. It was for the buy-in. Bryan Danielson, Minoru Suzuki. You watched it. Did you watch it after the fact or did you watch it live?
After, not live.
I watched both at the same time, and then I went back and watched the buy-in again. Because I had more eye on SmackDown, to be honest with you. Not for any particular reason.
I was watching Squid Game.
You know, you also don't watch wrestling live most of the time anyway. You watch it after the fact, so you can kind of fast forward through the intros and shit.
And all of the awful. I'm going to tell you, SmackDown had a lot of this wrestler's coming to SmackDown packages that were immediately skipped by me. So when we get to SmackDown, if I missed a short segment before or after one of those, that's why. Because I don't give a crap about hearing about the superstar Drew McIntyre or Sheamus when I'm well aware of who they are and what they've done.
Whatever. We'll get back to that. But yes, we're not going to get into those. Those segments are reintroductory. Sure.
Ugh.
So Brian, Suzuki have their match, and it's a match in like four parts.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, like, what did it for you? What did you like about it? What was it?
They're working at a good, it was telling a really interesting story. There was some stuff that was like a little overwrought, but it didn't again become that stupid super kick circle, which I'm going to talk about forever. But it you know, like, I feel like they were laying into each other, and that was the thing that excited me the most, because that's what people have been telling me about Minoru Suzuki, and I haven't, you know, with Mox, I don't know, Mox has been so, like, kind of all over the place for me lately that I didn't get that vibe. I still wasn't hyped on Minoru Suzuki. This finally got me to get what people are hyped about with Suzuki. Like, and they're mean to each other, and that was interesting. There were no, like whiffed shots on this one, which I really appreciated.
I doubt you're familiar with this, and I barely am too. There's a promotion in Japan. I don't even know if I want to call it a promotion. They're called Choco Pro.
Yeah.
Have you heard of them?
I've heard the name. The name is familiar, yes.
So I'd also heard of them. I'd seen a few videos popping around. There's one of Suzuki in Choco Pro where he's wearing his like regular gear, and the Choco Pro like gimmick, I guess, is that they're basically wrestling on mattresses that are covered with a piece of like brown mat. And he's still doing all of his moves, and he's still, it's just the most comical shit you can think of. I've never invested much into Choco Pro, and now I'm just like, I might have to watch an episode because it's way over my like style of wrestling.
That sounds funny as hell.
And that's the thing. I think that's something that you might like because it's so like different and insane that it might be perfect for you. It might not be good for me. I might go back and watch a few things, but check that out. Suzuki and Choco Pro is something else.
So the men, oh my God.
You're like looking it up now. You're like, I'm going to watch an entire episode while we're talking.
It looks like they're literally in a bedroom.
Yeah. Because I think they film it inside of one of the dojos.
This is dumb.
You love it.
I'm watching like a 6'6" dude wrestle a 5-foot-tall woman.
Yeah, that's what it is.
All right. I think you've misjudged how much I would enjoy this. This is very, it is very stupid. I might enjoy this for a day. She's got an ice pack. Why does she have an ice pack? Anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
You're like, bookmark, save for later.
It doesn't look like a school. It looks like someone's sad bedroom. Like,
oh, no.
Someone's with like a dirty brown sheet.
Oh, but it's got a lot of like, it's got this weird sensation behind it. It's very strange, very funny.
It looks amusing. I will check
there
you it
go.
Out.
Oh yeah, so Suzuki and Meiko Satomura are actually like besties. There's a video of them playing baseball. I need to watch that. So there that you does go. Sound fun.
All right.
Happy birthday NXT UK. Just turned 3 today. Anyway, so back to the match. Because again, for those who don't listen to us, we don't really get into the nitty gritty of the matches. We'll talk about what was good, what we liked, especially when it's storytelling. In this match, the storytelling, again, it was in four parts. They did the grappling. They did the beatdown. They did the reversals.
A little bit outside.
They fought. They went outside. Yeah. They did everything. And then, of course, watching Suzuki forearm Brian into the floor was nice. Something else to watch. And then at the end, you got the knee plus, and that was it. Although now they're calling it the Buzaiku knee strike.
Oh, okay.
They're using the proper terminology.
How is it proper? It's just different.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just what Brian's calling it now.
Is there a translation for that word? Like,
he's not calling it a running knee. He's not calling it knee plus. They're calling it the Buzaiku knee strike. So good for him. Someone who speaks Japanese, someone who understands Japanese.
Let me know if that's a translation and if the translation is running knee strike.
Could you?
Like, I feel like it's just a way to make people, I don't know. Excalibur does that stuff. It's like you take a simple move and you just use a foreign language to express it. And boom, it's exotic. I'm like,
yeah. What else is exotic is you dropping a thumbs up on this video. Huh? Go ahead. Do that.
That's like the leopard print of internet activities.
That's true. That is
stylish.
True.
Very
Speaking stylish. Speaking of stylish, Matt Sydal comes out. We open our third eye so that we can watch Punk and Sydal commercial free.
Yeah.
That opens up the actual Rampage show. I tried to pay attention to this match. I couldn't pay attention to this match.
It was good. It was good. It was pretty good. Like, Matt said, him and Punk work well together. It's still like, you're still getting the Punk's warming up vibes through everything. But yeah, I mean, Sydal, he's always impressive. It's just like, I feel like his character and stuff holds him back both in ring and out. Like, I don't know. He's just kind of an odd duck.
Oh, that's a good one.
So it's hard for me to get behind him because it's just like, okay, third eye. That's nice.
Aligning your chakras, opening your third eye, do a little yoga.
Do some backflips.
Maybe go to the top turnbuckle, you know.
Yeah, it was good. Like, it was good. It was good. I liked it.
They did have a match in WWE. They technically had two. I want to go back and rewatch those matches and see if they pulled anything out for this one. But I haven't had the time yet, so that might be on my list of things to do.
I'd be curious about that too. If they have, like, if they just ran back kind of more or less something they've done before, or if they did some net new work for this. But
I think they try to do new stuff when they can, especially when it's like coming from WWE to AEW. Especially these two, they don't want to just rest on their laurels. But I wouldn't be surprised if they pulled something out for those who were just like, "Oh my god, I've been following both these guys forever. This is amazing." I don't think there's anyone fully like that. I mean, Mod Dan saying he loves both men, so maybe maybe he saw. But anyway, Punk gets the win. There you go. They shake hands. They're besties. Code of Honor has been insured. Another women's match. Ruby Soho and the Bunny. Friends, I've been telling you for a while. The Bunny is a good wrestler.
Yeah. Yeah. Like this kind of proved it. Like she was fun. This is fun. I think I enjoy her wrestling more than Ruby.
Chemistry is a thing for sure. These two had it. Yeah. I continue to say the reason that the Bunny lost that match is because she offered Ruby Soho some of those Oreos, and Soho is upset about that. She was nice. You don't act nice to Ruby Soho. Why would you do that?
No.
That's right.
You don't get by. What, I don't even, is her gimmick that she's homeless? No, which right?
One? Soho? No.
Ruby Soho.
she's ran just away, but it wasn't from home.
Oh, okay. I got it. Because I was about to, I don't know. Like, yeah, take those Oreos when you can.
Her and Homeless Brooks are actually best friends.
God, I love Homeless Brooks. Shout out to Homeless Brooks.
Oh, Canadian Indies friends. Go look up Homeless Brooks. Very good wrestler. He's actually on Dynamite once upon a time. He had a very funny appearance where he was like front row at a show.
Yes, I saw that. Yes, that was fun.
Just search Homeless Brooks Dynamite. I'm sure he'll show up on Twitter. Anyway, yeah, so good match. Again, great competition, great chemistry between both women. Therefore, the match was fun to watch. And I think that's something worth noting because a lot of people forget that Bunny can be a really good performer. One thing that helps is that she's been getting a lot of reps in, not only on TV, physically appearing on TV, but also having matches or at least seconding a lot of talent. So she gets to watch a lot of things like firsthand. I think that's big.
Yeah, I really think so too. And she just like, I don't know, again, like she just brings so much to the table because she looks like a nut.
It's true. She does that really well too. When I was at Arthur Ashe, she was screaming. I could hear her screaming from where I was sitting. And like, that wasn't mic work. I was confused. She's just real loud.
Just bellowing.
Just going for it, man. And then, of course, Ruby Soho gets the win with the backslide. And Penelope Ford comes out. And she puts on the brass knuckles the right way. And she lays out Ruby.
This time.
I mean, they were live. She had to make sure that she like... Is it this way? She got it right. That's all that matters. Penelope Ford will... I'll be gushing over Penelope Ford when we talk about Dynamite in a minute. Yes. Let's get to the main event. We had the Trios match, the match that nobody expected to like, but everyone did. They did Inner Circle. It was Jericho Hager and Guevara against Men of the Year and Junior Dos Santos. Junior Dos Santos, who continues to dress for the job he doesn't want because he does not give a shit.
He went through a table like every other... non-wrestler.
I was expecting it. Except for Snoop. Pad.
Yeah.
No. Good on him. He didn't do it. He took it right.
Still got the muscle on him. He can take a bump.
Yeah, sorry. Going back to the last match, Louis saying that it was the Oreos that caused Bunny to have good matches.
Oh, my God.
Go watch her vlog. She's actually very funny. Yeah, so the match was good. The match was fun. It was a six-person tag. It was a six-man tag. And it was just a lot of schmoz. My favorite, again, Junior Dos Santos stole it for like all the weird reasons. When him and Jericho start going at it, like Jericho's like putting him up and everyone's like, are you dumb, bro?
You're gonna die. It's good to see Jericho get kneed again. That was after, but yeah, like I don't know, they just managed Junior well. Like they limited how much he was doing, but kept it so that he had some interesting spots. A lot of funny stuff. And then the table bump. So
what do you think of Hager and Junior Dos Santos having a little tag in the ring there?
It's fine.
Use some hammer fists. Hager.
It's a big head. Too big of a head. That was, yeah, we'll get to Dynamite.
Yeah, that was not a great promo, but we'll talk about that.
What?
I mean, no. It was a good match. So yeah, so there you go. You had American Top Team jumps in the ring, like you said, and Masvidal knocks out Jericho again. Because why not?
Good.
And Paige VanZant takes a selfie. Oh, and then the rest of the Inner Circle show up. Santana Ortiz. That's fine.
Because they're still in the Inner Circle. Reminder.
That's what happens the next night. So we'll take this in pieces. Inner Circle. All right. What do you like the promo? Tell me why.
No. Okay. I like Dan Lambert. Everything else about that entire promo was trash. And it just kept going. It just kept going. Why did it keep going so long? But Dan Lambert had a few funny bits where he said, Jake Hager's head was enormous. What do you do in the morning? Do you take that t-shirt and step in with both legs and pull it up? That was a good line.
Good burn.
The entire thing with Paige Van Zandt was annoying and boring. What else? Didn't Scorpio Sky talk?
Scorp spoke at the end. He said he beat Jericho twice.
Yeah, I barely remember anything he said. So that tells you that wasn't good.
No, it's this whole thing was like your brain's foggy after taking a knee from Masvidal last night. But don't forget, I've pinned the goat twice. That was
so I guess that makes me the goat is that he awkwardly got out. It wasn't delivered very well, that line.
I like Sky. It's unfortunate.
I like Sky too. I do. It's not nothing against him. It's just a rough night. Because that promo, again, I think ran long. Like, it just kept going. And it's because Jericho won't shut his stupid mouth.
I mean, look at who else was speaking. Like the only other good talker there was it Santana? Or Santana. Santana opens up the promo and does a great job.
But he then, did.
The only other thing that Jericho said that was hilarious was, like, him and Paige Van Zandt and him saying about the filters.
Oh, man.
Taking Instagram photos and using those filters. And knowing which filters are which.
Yeah, it was fine. It just kept going. He asked
his daughters. It's fine. Yeah. And then at the end, like, I don't know why Sammy had to get in there, but he's like, I'm the TNT champion. I'm the Spanish God. I'm going to kick all your asses. And it's like, I'm going to really do that, though.
Yeah.
Is he on the cruise next week?
I don't know.
Guevara?
Is that next week?
Yeah, the cruise is next week.
All right. Everyone's going to get COVID.
No, you have to. Well, I mean, maybe, but they all have to be vaccinated to get on the ship.
Whoa!
Yeah, and that includes talent, and people on board. I know.
All right, just norovirus then. That's fine.
Yeah, that's right. Come out of both ends. It's okay. I don't miss living on ships. I really don't miss living on ships.
They're gross.
It's an experience. let's go to the top of the card. Dante Martin, Malachi Black.
This did not play out how we thought it would.
No, it didn't.
It was just an introduction for Leo Rush. That's all this was.
We talked about it on Wednesday. We had an idea. I had an idea. I don't know. You kind of agreed. This could have been Dante's first big statement win so that Cody and Black would go to full gear and Cody could win and people would not be up in arms. Well, we're wrong on both accounts because not only did Malachi Black win that match, and it was a very good match. We'll talk about it.
Yes, it was. Yes.
But next week, it's Cody and Black 3.
Yeah. Yeah, which, again, rushed. Like, why are we sprinting to that so quickly? Like, finally, Cody's doing something where, when his segment came on this week, I actually, like, paid close attention because I've been enjoying them. And we're already ready to end that? Why? Like, why? Why are we rushing to this? This could have waited another month at least, but whatever.
I think if you go and you look at the TK leaked card, some things might make more sense. We'll see. Yeah. Either way, undefeated. Malachi Black doesn't get into the tournament for whatever reason. Don't know why. Maybe because
I want to talk about the tournament too, so we'll get there.
Anyway. We will talk about the tournament. We will. That'll be the last thing we talk about before we go into SmackDown. How's that? So... Listen, great match. Dante Martin again having a breakout performance, as expected. Malachi Black firing back, doing high spots, which you don't always see from him. And when he hit that roundhouse kick in a German, I thought that was it. I thought it was like Black Mass into a German, and that's putting him down because that's a strong way to finish.
Yeah, and Dante sold me Martin, a ticket.
Yeah, sold me a ticket, and Dante kicks out.
Yeah, like, which, you know, Dante came out of this looking stellar once again because just everything he does has been... so good. But, you know, him being humbled a little bit puts him into this position with Leo Rush. Them being a tag team is surprising to me rather than manager tag. But, you know, I guess Leo wants to wrestle. So.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And this can turn into something once Darius comes back. Dante's brother. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is, I'm assuming, sooner than later. It could be a few months. Who knows?
It's been feels like.
It was an ACL tear. So he's going to be out for the duration. Or at least
8 months, whatever. From wherever. Yeah.
So, I mean, what's interesting there is that you can do something like Darius joins House of Black, but I don't think they're going to really, I don't know. They could go further with this feud because Black wins, gets the Black Mass and just psh, takes him out, sends him to the Shadow Realm, and then shakes his hand, or not even shakes his hand, just gives him a nod.
Gives him a nod, yeah.
There's some respect there, because it was a good match, and also, he took him a little bit further than he's ever been taken before, Malakai Black.
Yep.
That's a good match. Yeah, like Luis is saying, I think Black wins, and Cody will lose his shit from there. And I can see that. We'll talk about that promo. Let's talk about it right now. Oh, God. So Cody gets to the Nightmare Factory. Or the Nightmare, whatever the hell they're calling it.
I don't care.
the Nightmare Family the
gym.
Office.
He gets to a gym.
He gets to the room in which they open up the big garage door. And for some reason, all the recruits are just standing there waiting. How long do you think they were standing there waiting for him if he's that late?
Just staring at that door. Like, yeah, I don't know.
Do you imagine they're just like, he's going to get here eventually. Someone's just like, eventually. We've been standing here for 20 minutes.
They're just sitting on their phones in complete silence, ready to like listen for footsteps. Then every time they're like,
then it's just someone walking by. Oh God. So they open up the gate and they're all there, the garage there. And Red Velvet has a giant face turn and slaps Cody in the face.
It's very great. Aaron gives her the okay. It's a nice nod. He's like, smack.
Very surprised that Brock Anderson didn't pull out his gun. But I guess the apple does not fall as far from the tree as we
You got to play assume. Defense, Cody.
That's right. And then they do a whole training montage where Cody just keeps getting the shit kicked out of him. Or at least like tripped up or beat up, whatever.
Yep.
And the whole point of this is like, listen to your surroundings. So what are we going to do? They're going to put like a blindfold on him next week and be like, take on Black. You can do it. And it's going to be like, what was that movie? Oh, God. Come on, help me out. Karate Kid?
Blindfold? Did they blindfold him in Karate Kid?
Yeah, I'm assuming he did.
Did he?
I think so.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. It's been a while.
Someone said Rocky 3. I could see that. They're going to turn into a montage. Sorry. Everything's a montage. South Park.
He should be learning Krav Maga because clearly Aaron's coming for him. And you know, like he's gonna have to disarm a man with a gun rather than just wrestle,
as one should.
I love what I always find funny is how they make this feel like serious training, and they're like defense, and then one of Cody's defensive moves is to fall down on his back and do that dumb gold dust chop thing, and I was like, oh, okay, whatever.
He's just learning from his brother.
Combat.
That's fine.
Yeah, it's just fine. Well, here's the thing. It's just a serious tone. It's very like, weird to do that move in that situation.
And like Maude Dan is saying, like the segment ended weird and I'm not sure where it ended. And I also don't remember where
I don't remember the end either. It just ended, but it's so weird. I don't care. It's so weird. I love that it's weird.
It's very strange. What was very strange was the AAA tag title match.
FTR comes out in Riddler cosplay.
Don't spoil it. It was Las Superranas, first of all. Las Superranas.
With the weird music.
With the great music. Los Conquistadores. And they took on the Lucha Bros for the AAA tag team titles. Remember last week when everyone, including ourselves, were like, oh, it's going to be like Jurisico and Dragon Lee. Yeah.
You had ideas from the show that I don't watch.
Forbidden Doors Wide Open. Nope. Turns out these guys were AAA guys were going into business for themselves. This was hilarious. They came out and of course they play up. I love the commentary. Just like, that's FDR. That's clearly FDR.
Yeah, yeah. I did the not being treated like a moron through this. Someone posted on Reddit just like appreciating that part. And I was like, yeah, like that. It was nice that there was no nonsense, but with this, that's clearly FDR.
I also enjoy when they're like, if you try to unmask someone in AAA rules, you get disqualified. And then a minute later, commentary is like, oh, I've been informed these are AEW rules. And it's like... Well, it's for the other tag titles for the other company that you just talked about having the thing. Little shit like that. At least they clean it up. I'll give them that. Like, I'm always going to give them that. But yeah, there was a whole thing. They unmask it. It's FTR. And at that moment, I'm like, forget it. You know what? Send FTR to Mexico and have them dominate the Mexican lucha scene. Let's do it. No flips, just fists and
no flips. Like, yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I see that, you know, they were booked for New York. One thing I love about the idea of flying is that it can be fast from New York to Florida. Anyway, yeah, match happens. Did not expect that victory. FTR, the Triple H Tag Champs. I have a very important question.
Okay, what is it?
Will they wear that gear in AAA?
No, not once. I don't think so, no.
Why not?
Again, it looks like a bad Riddler cosplay. That was clearly purpose-built for one night and one night only.
Why wasn't Tully dressed up with them?
That's a great question.
Why didn't Tully wore a green shirt, which was nice. That kind of played into it.
Yeah.
But like, come on. We had an opportunity here.
It would have been very, very funny. Maybe he was just like, I'm too old for that shit. No. Maybe he's just a bad sport.
Before.
Yeah, bad sport now, though. I don't know.
Yeah, so now FTR, they've got to win the IWGP tag and the NWA tag titles. Actually, I don't want them to win the NWA tag titles because I don't want anyone to be stricken with that grief.
No. Again, to be in NWA is to be punished. So.
Yeah, exactly. Could you imagine if Cash
Unless Wheeler, you're that guy they love so much. That is it Nick Aldis?
Tyrus?
No, Tyrus sucks. No, he loves him. Yeah, he loves being there.
I don't want to talk about NWA. It just makes me sad. I want to see Cash Wheeler do like a 630, though.
Okay.
Him and El Hijo Vikingo can go. They can do a 630.
I feel like that would hurt. He's so like beefy.
Oh, God. Yeah, so Evan's asking about the FTR leaked gear from WWE. Did you see this?
No.
So this was like before they left. There was a push to have FTR as like these clowny comedy tag team characters.
Why?
Yes, and they're wearing like a giant like what's his name? Who was the rapper? Who was the hype man? Yeah, boy. Who was that?
Oh, Flav.
Thank you. So he was going to do like a giant kind of clock medallion type thing. It was a whole thing. And they would wear weird gear and dressed up all black.
Why do they have do-rags?
Because Vince doesn't exactly know how to do things with tact.
This is bad.
It's very bad. It was leaked on Body Slam years ago.
This is so hideous.
Anyway. I think there was a bit of rib in that, but I don't know how deep it was. I think the green
it's too far from it. As far from what if it was closer, maybe. But
anyway, it was a good match, fun match, and I'm sure they're going to run it back twice. Run it back so that Lucha Bros get the tag titles back, and then do it again, but this time for the AEW tag titles. Mm. What I do not want to see at Full Gear is a gimmick match for the tag titles.
No, yeah, I don't think we need that. You can just have FTR not wearing stupid costumes. That's change enough for me with this matchup.
I don't want to see a ladder match. I don't want to see a cage match. I get why they would do it, but like, I don't need every pay-per-view to be some sort of gimmick match for the tag titles.
Yeah.
No, I don't want a ladder match. I do not want a ladder match. Do not put both sets of belts on him. No, don't do it. I want a straight up contest. That's all. Put the AAA titles in a ladder match in AAA. Do that.
Mm-hmm.
But then have a regular ass match for FTR and the Lucha Bros at Full Gear. Something. Don't make it a car crash match, please. We had a car crash instead with Jon Moxley and Wheeler Yuta.
Hold on. Before we get to that, there was a segment after the FTR match with Andrade and MJF. Where
yes.
MJF asks for both cash and check.
Who does that?
And Andrade has both prepared and gives it to him. So did he pay double? So what I took away from that segment is that Andrade is a stupid person. Like, MJF is outwardly pretty racist to him and generally kind of shitty. And he's cool with it. And he's purchased FTR to hang out with for a night. Like, I don't fully understand what the point of that was. And it just made Andrade look like a very stupid man. And is that his character? Because we've talked about that before as a possibility. Like, he is a delusional person who thinks he's a kingpin, but is apparently just a very stupid man.
In NXT, remember he was the party boy until Zelina Vega showed up?
Okay, no, hold on. Montan, that's not a reasonable, normal thing. That doesn't happen in the world. Like,
right.
Why would he only have... So, what was he not prepared if MJF was to say, check, please? And then he just had a check made out, but it was only for half the amounts. Like, gibberish.
And again, like, I don't think the check will bounce. I think it's going to happen. It was just a weird, both. And they're friends. Like, that's all it is.
Yeah. They're friendly. So it's like, okay.
It was a very strange thing. I was like,
why odd gag. Like,
why would you ask for both? And why would you have both prepared?
Whatever. Wrestling.
One other thing to go back to is that Luis in the chat was saying a 2 out of 3 falls match at Full Gear. I would be fine with that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's less gimmicky. Same. Put the first falls for the AAA titles, second fall for the AEW titles.
2 out of 3 falls is just more match as long as you don't add stipulations to each fall.
Yeah. You can even just do 2 out of 3 falls for one of the tag titles. I'm fine with that too. I just don't want to see them have to climb things, get out of things, do anything like that. I just want a straight up match for those two.
Yeah.
There you go. There you go. So we'll get unleashed La Sombra in 8 months or so, but he's got to do this weird, like, I'm bigger than I am. And then someone's got to come in and be his guy, his handler.
Yeah.
Someone who like slaps the shit out of him and tells him what's right. Speaking of slapping the shit out of someone, Moxley did that to Yuta.
He just came and slapped the shit out of Wheeler Yuta. There was nothing. It was a squash. I was like, oh, okay. Orange Cassidy just looking on like, bruh.
Yeah, because why? You know why? Because he knows he's going to have to face that man in a tournament soon. Oh, dear.
Yeah, that's all this was. Was to set up for that later announcement, be like, oh, no.
Oh, good match. Great match. 5 stars. Moxley just coming in and out, and then Renee tweeting out like he doesn't get paid by the hour.
Yep.
I like that. And then Yuta sold it so well, sold it like death. Everyone thought that he was like having a legitimate problem there. I liked it.
Yep.
Good times. What else was going on? Serena Deeb backstage.
Solidifying her mean girl character. Yep.
By the way, Serena Deeb wearing Vans. I see you, Serena Deeb, wearing your Vans shoes, not wearing your Jordans, you fake wrestler or something. I don't know what the
When CM Punk was talking about Jays, I didn't know that people called Jordans Jays.
You thought it was pot too, right?
I had no idea what they were talking about. I thought it was a different type of stupid sneaker.
Yeah, the J stands for Jordan.
Yeah.
Just let me know. Anyway, leave a thumbs up on this video. Dark Order takes on the Super Click. It's Uno, it's Reynolds, it's Silver. Taking on Adam Cole. Bay and the Young Bucks, and of course Don Callis was there and Brandon Cutler was there. I will fast forward to the very end of this match. I love Brandon Cutler getting sprayed in the eyes for a good solid just 2 minutes.
Directly in the eyeballs. Yeah.
Oh, and yeah, sorry, going back to Deeb, I did like CM Punk being like, great head of hair on Serena Deeb, because I don't know if you remember the Straight Edge Society.
Explain.
So the Straight Edge Society in WWE was Punk, Gallows, and Deeb. And one of the things that Punk did to Deeb was shave her head.
Ah.
So that was his little great head of hair on her because.
Wait, like Big LG?
Yeah.
I keep forgetting he's been so many different things.
He's like.
They're all weird looking when he's they're like not this age. Current version. Yeah.
Like he got into the business at like 22. Gallows, oh no, he's not. Gallows is 37, so he's not far off from me. But like, yeah.
Damn, that's crazy because he's done so many different like characters. Anyway.
Yeah, craziness. So anyway, he was in WWE as Gallows, as a Straight Edge Society member. Anyway, Super Click, Dark Order, great match, so much fun, high paced. I loved John Silver going for the Cesaro outside like runaround gimmick and him getting completely just cut off by Matt Jackson.
Yeah.
So right much thing fun.
To do. It's good.
Anything in that match that you really, really, really liked that made you happy?
Nah, it was good. This one didn't like stand out too much. I'm aware of Festus. That's mostly what I'm referencing when I'm remembering Luke Gallows being like
that's
such
when he
a weirdo.
Was,
because
that's when he
that
was
dude
23.
Needs a beard. Like he does not work well without one.
Anyway, yeah. Anything from that match for you?
No, like I mean, John Silver standard like great performance, my opinion.
Did you like the kiss spot where Silver and Reynolds replaced the Bucks and kiss Adam Cole? Bay Bay.
Every time, yes.
That needs to happen. I need, no matter where they are, I need Silver and Reynolds to like run down. Even if they're in another city, just get there and run down and kiss Adam Cole. I need, the next time it happens, I need Cole to like look both ways and make sure it's actually the Bucks.
Yeah. That should totally be next week. Like,
or BT, or it's going to be, Silver is going to be like, hey, remember when we kissed? Adam Cole just be like, get out. It's in fact all about the budge or the bulge, depending on how you look at. Anyway, obviously the BTE trigger, that's it, walloped, and Jungle Boy comes out. Jungle Boy has a chair. Jungle Boy looks incensed. I was a big fan of that. It's a home run on Brandon Cutler with the chair. The swings for the fences.
Easy prey. The rule of the jungle really laid out there. You know, you don't got to be the fastest. You just got to be faster than the slowest. Brandon Cutler, the slowest in this case.
MJF comes out and he does his thing. I don't really have much to say.
No, it is pretty standard MJF thing. It wasn't like, it was good. I enjoyed it, but it was, yeah.
Punk saying something very interesting on commentary, by the way. You know how I know it's not a match? Because Wardlow's not with him. Wardlow and Punk to get to MJF and Punk. MJF and Punk at Revolution. That's what I'm going for.
Cannot wait for that.
Out comes Sting!
Spoiling for a fight.
I guess. I mean, he just had to come out and do his thing. Why not? Sure, Sting wrestles for the promotion, comes out. What does he do? He takes out some people with a bat. There we go.
Then he drops the bat and he's like, fight me. And he's like, yeah, no.
Nah, I'm out. It was fun. It was a fun little thing.
It was good.
Let's go. Kiera Hogan. Oh, there's the Anna Jay, Britt Baker thing. They're just setting up for Rampage. I got nothing else to add.
Yeah, it was a backstager and it was just like, meh. Because they started talking to Anna Jay about Dark Order, and I was like, maybe give her a character rather than just being the one associated with the Dark Order.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, and out comes Penelope Ford and Kiera Hogan for the 9:23 match of the night. Mm-hmm. First of all, we're back to that, and what's really frustrating, we're gonna talk about this when we talk about SmackDown, like. The way women's wrestling has suddenly shifted on both planes is very weird to me. Very interesting. Yeah. But either way, Kiera Hogan has a good showing. But guess what? Penelope Ford is a wonderful, wonderful wrestler. If you don't like Penelope Ford yet, you probably should start.
You're really wrong. Good. That's it. I'm going to say it. You're wrong.
Yeah. She went for that springboard into the cutter, which, oh my God, Hogan took like a champ. Really, really big fan of that. And of course they asked, is Kiera Hogan related to, and this is Paul Hogan, the golfer? No.
I also noticed her handle is Hogan Knows Best. I didn't even notice that until just now. And I was like, yeah, he ain't touching that. She can use that.
I'm waiting for Hogan to put a cease and desist.
Oh my God. That would talk be about a choice.
Talk about Terry. Oh dear. Anyway, good stuff. Moodle Lock and Kiera Hogan taps out. And then out comes Ruby Soho because everybody needs to take out Penelope Ford and the Bunny.
Yeah, guess what? Still, you know, they're building that. Yeah.
Yep. So now we got to do, who's going to be Ruby Soho's tag partner? And why is it Thunder Rosa?
Yeah, that's probably it. Yeah.
I don't know who it could be. And you know what? That's fine with me.
She has no friends. She keeps running away.
That's right. She keeps running away from her friends. She needs friends. So what are we going to do? Penelope Ford and the Bunny versus Ruby Soho and...
Yeah, just handicap match. Do it.
Just going to keep saying Kylan King until it happens.
Yeah, I guess we keep doing that, Kiera, but it never is. There you go. That's like, exactly it. Yeah. Thank you for putting he put together the very obvious thing that we have somehow overlooked.
No, wrestling is Occam's razor. I get that, but I don't want to give them
it's definitely that.
But what do they have in common? What do Soho and Kiera Hogan have in common?
She came out to save her ass after. Yeah, that's it. Like in Tony's little boy notebook, he's got it scrolled. Kiera and Ruby are friends now.
Yeah, there you go. Liv Morgan's contract magically expires. and there's no non-compete. There you go.
Wasn't there a third one? Wait, wasn't there a third Riot Squad member?
She had a kid and decided to hunt game out in the middle of Ohio. Good for them.
Okay.
And talk about Boogaloos and MAGA. So
Jesus. Okay.
A lot more of them are that way than you think, my
That's
friend.
The wrong kind of riot. Yeah, it's real punk. It's a different type of punk, riot. Though.
Okay, that's good. Oh, yeah, there you go. They're best friends because they have different color. They have colored hair. There you go. Perfect. One is red, one is blue, one is orange. Together, it makes sense. Ruby Soho and Kira Hogan are best friends now. Let's move on. Oh, we talked about Hangman Page. We talked about Cowboy Shit. That was a great promo. We discussed it at the beginning of the video. If you're late, go back and watch it. If you're rewatching it and want to talk more about it, leave a comment on the video.
Or the Discord.
Join the Discord. That's right. It's in the video description. We talk about everything. Come and join us. And then we got to the main event of AEW Dynamite. We had Danielson, Fish, Infamous, Dragon, whatever you want to do. Good match.
I didn't know Bobby Fish was this good.
I mean, he's been in the business long enough. If he wasn't good, you would know by now.
It's true. I mean, that's not true now that I think of it. I mean, he really impressed me in War Games too, with the last time they did that.
Oh, when he tore his elbow out of his
sock. Yeah, the last time he fucked himself up.
The two had a good match, and I like that the commentary brings up both men having matches the night before, both men and the amount of time they had in their matches. I think that was cool. We're going to talk about the Miro promo too, because that factors into the talk about the brackets. We'll get to that in a minute. So So again, good match, just fun.
Solid work.
I feel like we've been asked this before. Yes, AEW is absolutely
almost certainly yes.
Yes, judging by some of the people on that roster, absolutely. Jack Evans probably has a side gig selling for the rest of the roster. Oh man, so just fun match, good match. There's not a lot for me to talk about, just because again, it was a match. There was not a big story going into it. It was just Brian getting another win and solidifying himself as like the guy who came in to be elite. That's fine with me.
Yeah, no, it's very good. And like I said, I missed half of Bobby's move set. It feels like now, like this is having it all back is interesting.
Yeah, exactly. And that's fine with me. Like I want to see all these guys come in, do their thing, and they can, again, AEW is the land of a professional wrestler. And WWE is a land of a sports entertainer. There is a fundamental difference, and that's fine. So they show off the brackets for the world title eliminator match, but let's get first to Miro does his 30-second promo where he says
it was very short.
He talks about how he can't face his wife, that his God has forsaken him because he didn't bless him enough. I don't remember the verbiage, but it was
not enough victims. That's the key, you know. It's a blood god. Blood for the blood god.
I know that feeling so well. You need to give more blood to your
blood god. Yeah,
but it's not, listen, it's not Miro's fault that his god decided to forsake him and move to Friday nights. Like, I get it, I understand it. So Miro's not in the tournament. Miro's upset that he's not in the tournament, by the way, which I found interesting because, I think a lot of people expect him to be in that tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's good that they're addressing it by him being upset that he's not in it. Why he's not in it has not been explained, but maybe it will be. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm going to pull up the bracket. Here it is. So we've got first match is Moxley and Dark Order's 10.
Wonder where that's going to go.
I don't know, man. I think 10's going to pull out the
victory. I'm going to criticize this again. Stumpy bracket. Why are we doing tournaments with like 8 competitors? It's boring.
Does it really bug you?
It does. I don't like it. Like, it's not interesting to me. It's just like, I don't want to sprint to the finals of a tournament. Like, tournaments are supposed to be a little bit lengthier. And like, you have a deep enough roster that you could stretch this out. And I think if you're going to do a tournament, make it feel more special. Like, it's stumpy brackets. Not my thing.
I mean, listen, I agree with you. I hear where you're coming from. I would like to see a larger bracket than that. The last time I did the Eliminator tournament, it was similar as well. where it was Stumpy. If you want to see like a 64, not a 64, let's be realistic. Even a 16 man tournament,
add 16 an extra. 16 would be better. Yep.
Yeah.
Add an extra. But here's the thing. Do some of the matches on Dark and Dark Elevation. I don't care about that. Like, I'm fine with that. It's just like, meh, Stumpy.
Yeah. Like doing their own G1 tournament would be interesting. I don't know if that's something I would be into, because I always joke that the G1 tournament is like 3 months long. Because that's the way it feels. It's still, every time I hear someone talk about it on a podcast, I'm like, it's still not over.
I wouldn't mind like 2 months. I think like a 2 month thing would be fine, as long as it's not like the dominant part of the program, you know, like do one match a show, do some of them on Dark Elevation, just have it going in the background as like an additional time fill.
Yeah.
With the finals being, you know, a big pay-per-view payoffs, because you've had time to make it feel like it matters. Whereas this one, like, you know, a couple of the entrants are jobbers, basically, in this situation. So, like, eh.
So let me tell you. We're talking about 10 and Moxley.
Yeah.
I'm fine about that, because if we're building to a Moxley heel turn, he beat the shit out of Yuta, which people love Yuta. He's going to beat the shit out of 10 when people love 10.
People love 10, yeah.
He's probably going to beat the shit out of Orange Cassidy, because Cassidy and Hobbs are going to have their first round match, and I'm pretty sure Cassidy's winning. Yeah. And that's going to be like moving towards all of your favorites are going to be beat by Moxley in like the most disgusting of ways. And then we'll get to Moxley versus the other side of the bracket, which first round is Dustin Rhodes and Daniel Bryan. Bryan Danielson. I'm sorry. I'm going to get it right one day. That's a fun match. That's just two guys who are going to go ham on each other.
Yeah.
And then you got Lance Archer and Eddie Kingston. Who do you think of those two is going to come out?
Maybe, I don't know. That's like the only match I don't really like see the finish for, because I don't know. Neither one of them I don't think is getting to the finals.
See, I can see Lance Archer getting through, because Brian can take out Archer in like a big man, little man match, and it would be a really like really emotional win, or just it would take a lot for him to win. That's one. But I can see Eddie Kingston, because it's Moxley's best friend. So exactly, Brian beating Kingston would kind of light a fire under Moxley. Mm-hmm. So like both sides work. Kingston losing, it depends how he loses in the second round.
Yeah, but exactly.
But all signs point to Mox and Brian.
Which is, I thought it was just too easy to telegraph. And like, I get 10 has a good singles record. Like, I don't care about their records, like, because it doesn't really matter. When I look at this bracket, I know who's winning.
Yeah.
So.
And that's funny, because people were asking not even about 10. They were asking about Dustin Rhodes. And I had to pull it up and be like, he's 9-2 this year. If you want to talk about the records, if that matters, which supposedly but does.
Like, he's going to be 9-3 soon.
Like, yeah, like he'll be 9-3 and that's it. But
it's fine. He's still, you know, and that's still a good record. Like, you know, so it is what it is. Yeah, and again, I think this would be a little bit more interesting if they had broader brackets, right? With more competitors.
I agree. Get us to where we know we're going is fine. But like add another dimension. I think that would be even cooler.
Just one round before it, I think would be, so much better.
Yeah, and that's fine with me. I agree with that. I would like to see a little bit more from a tournament. That's fine. That was it for Dynamite and Rampage. Is there anything that stuck out to you that you're looking forward to next week? We're going to profile it on Wednesday.
No, like, let's save it till Wednesday. I think that like it was a good episode of Dynamite. I really enjoyed it. And Rampage pulled out all the stops. So.
Yeah. No, good matches. And listen, let's dig into SmackDown. I think that the show overall was fun. I think the show overall was good in certain places and, as per usual, dog shit in others.
Yeah.
I like that the crowd, they open up the show with Michael Cole being like, I assure you the arena is full. I assure you the arena is sold out. People are just arriving late. That's a thing, because they're on the West Coast.
It's just weird. Why address it at all? I don't care. I don't care either way. Like,
it's very strange.
Also, you have like 10 cameras. Maybe just cut away from the ones showing people walking in.
Like, yeah. And I think part of the reason he did that was because they opened the show with Edge and they didn't want to make it seem like nobody's there for Edge. It was just a strange, whatever.
Yeah.
Edge's promo, what do you think? He comes in, he says, now it's personal, going after my family, go after yours, but I'm not going to go after yours, so instead we're going to go after each other.
Yeah, yeah, I liked it. I thought it was good. Again, this is what Hell in a Cell should be, like this type of feud.
I like the, you came into my home and you pissed all over it. I'm like, yeah. Literally? And wait, they didn't put that on camera?
I know. It's like, why was that not on TV? They should have done that. That'd be funny.
That actually would have been hilarious.
Yeah, that's fine. You can put that on TV. And they were just, yeah, where I break bread with my family, where we laugh, where we cry. It was like, yeah. Okay, Edge.
Yeah, like I see in the chat, Meltzer saying that traffic played a part. I'm just ripping on it because they never do that. I think it's funny.
I just don't think it's necessary to address it. It's weird. Like, you don't need to put that on your product.
I promise everything's fine. Nothing's on fire. Just stick around. Sit down for a minute.
I don't pay attention to the crowd. I don't care.
Big fan of Edge saying, bringing back the fact that he could have gone to Seth's house like he did John Cena's house. That was good. I like that. Mm-hmm. I'm over Seth having the same feud against everyone where it comes down to his family. Yeah. And that he suddenly has to be more violent because his family has been hurt.
My family.
Yeah. How do you scar your soul?
I don't know. That's not a thing.
Very confused because these two are going to be on the same brand very soon.
Yeah. I mean, he could tie him to a chair in the Hell in a Cell, roll out the projector and just do like a
this was my family vacation to the Dominican Republic.
yeah just torture him with slides.
We went to the beach.
Like, that would scar your soul. I mean, if you do like keep his eyelids open a la, oh my god, why can't I think of the name of this movie, Clockwork Orange. That'll scar your soul.
This is Lyric playing with a oyster.
I forgot his kid's name. Lyric. I know a kid named Lyric. It's awful. Anyway.
Beth was afraid to wear a bikini, but she did it. Look at her. Look at her.
Do you see?
Do you see? Hell in a Cell is going to be great this year. We're doing everything.
Entertainment, baby. Ain't about wrestling.
One of the walls will be a white projector screen that just comes down.
The camera will have a good time with that.
I'm fine with it. Oh, Zayn and Balor in the King of the Ring semifinals. We knew where it was going, but
the prince will become a king.
That's Jesus Christ. They sold me a ticket on one thing. I will tell you, there was a moment where Finn goes for the coup de grace and Sammy kind of reversed it.
No, it went into the Blue Thunder, or was that a...
I don't remember off the top of my head.
I can't remember either. Yeah.
I liked that they almost got it. Like, they almost got Sammy with that 2.9. And I was like, oh, is he going? And no, he's not. Of course not. And then once they kicked out, I was like, that's it. Yeah.
If it ain't there, it ain't there. Like, it's going to be Finn Balor. And it was.
And so I like Michael Cole being like, McAfee was like, have you ever been king? Cole's like, no, but I was knighted. I had to remember. That's a thing that happened. Sir Michael Cole.
Did she just get Michael Caine confused? And like,
Michael Cole was the one who said he was knighted.
Yeah, why would Michael Cole be knighted?
I don't know.
Did the queen screw up?
No, it was for his work during the Gulf War or something. I don't know.
What?
He was a reporter.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Michael Cole had like a legitimate journalistic background.
And now he's doing this? Why?
I couldn't tell you. What else was going on? Jesus, we're just getting to the whole SmackDown roster takes effect. Now I'm just reading the notes that I had because I can't remember. Naomi. Naomi comes out. We're doing this.
Yep.
I love this. I love that they go to break with the tight shot of Sonya Deville on her face. And I'm sitting there like, oh, I wonder why they're doing a tight shot and not showing her in her gear. Mm-hmm. And out she comes. She ain't wearing no gear. She's wearing her boots. Mm-hmm. She ain't wearing a gear. And out comes Shayna Baszler. She's the secondary. We almost got it right, Tim. Told you it'd almost be Tamina.
Yeah.
I guess Tamina's going to be week number two.
But we said it had to be someone that was physically imposing over Naomi, and it was.
Is that good enough for you?
Didn't she do the Karafuda and then just laid her down and she got the pin? That's confusing to me.
Kind of. Yeah.
Like, that's not really how submission holds work. So, I mean, Shayna could have just done other moves.
I didn't hate this. The only reason I didn't hate this is because there is more story to tell with Naomi and Shayna when you get physical. If they had just thrown them in the ring, Naomi versus Sonya, if they had just done that, boring. Where do you go from there?
We knew this wasn't happening. Like this is, they're not going to throw away a pay-per-view match on a SmackDown because it's WWE the way.
Yeah. And I don't expect it to be like, now it's going to be a different person for Naomi to face every time. I just think they're going to keep putting stuff in her way. And fine. Yeah, listen, eventually you'll get to Sonya. But guess what? That's not original. Nothing in wrestling is original. Nobody's ripping anybody off because guess what? All the stories have been told in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, these aren't highbrow things.
Once upon a time, Stone Cold Steve Austin had to go through the entire corporation to get to Vince McMahon. It's the same thing. Don't worry about it. No one's ripping anybody off.
The one thing I don't understand is what Sonya Deville has against Naomi. Did I forget why they're here?
She thinks she's overrated. She thinks she's not good enough.
Oh, okay.
I hope they haven't brought it to that place you're thinking of. But sometimes it feels that way. I get it.
It feels a little like that, sadly. But yeah, okay. Maybe we'll get a good reason eventually. Maybe they're just burying it for like a big, you know, deep reveal promo that actually gets us towards the pay-per-view, which would make a lot more sense.
But they did one more thing that I liked. They made seem like Shayna Baszler is a hitman.
Yes, I thought the person who gained the most from this was obviously Shayna. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And that's fine by me because for the last few weeks on Raw, that's what she's been doing.
Mm-hmm. Giving people vacations.
Exactly. She is the vacation giver, Shayna Baszler.
That's HR. Yeah. Filing your requests.
Seth did his promo. Look at me, look at me. I don't care. Just go.
Yeah, I didn't really like the separation of, like, if you're gonna build this match, I don't need it over two segments. It could have just been like one after the other or something else, because it's just too much time given to one match, in my opinion.
Yep. Zelina Vega versus Carmella in the Queen's Crown semifinal. First of all, okay, fine. Zelina gets the win, unexpected.
Yeah.
Even more unexpected when you think about Zelina Vega's real life situation in regards to her father. Her dad passed away in 9/11. And look at where they're going.
That's true.
I'm sorry. I don't like making these connections, but sometimes they're just so insane that you got to go there.
And again, Zelina Vega is being punished.
And that's no!
Do you think he's that messed up? One, no. In reality, I think Vince just... clueless. I don't think whoever made those decisions are probably just remarkably ignorant, because you know it's not like the U.S. made a big stink about it being largely Saudi backed and financed. Anyway,
that's a thing.
So I think it's probably just ignorance, but like it does super. It is very odd how much it just feels like Zelina is just being punished for her union rhetoric. Like it has been nothing but penance since she has returned.
I don't think it was on purpose.
No, I don't think so either. I think it's just, I think when ignorance is the more likely explainer here, I would go with that.
I like the idea of like Zelina Vega showing up, tank girl, just gunned up, being like, let's get these motherfuckers. Show up with some giant oversized novelty gun from one of the games she played on Twitch.
Yeah. No, she's going to show up and she's going to eat her L like a good little soldier.
So Luis in the chat saying Zelina getting yeeted by Shayna in Saudi. Let me tell you a little bit about Shayna Baszler and why she's not going to Saudi Arabia. Think about it. Think about what Shayna Baszler is into. She ain't going. Sorry, friends. Same reason Sammy's not going. Same reason Tony Storm's not going. Same reason Dewdrop's only going because she just married a guy. So let's keep going, shall we? Happy Corbin comes out. We do Madcap, who, by the way, is just the Mad Hatter, in case you haven't figured it out. And Boogs comes out with Shinsuke. That's all I got. Oh, and then they introduce Street Profits. Why did this happen?
Yeah, what the... The transition to this really confused the hell out of me. I thought they were doing a 4-on-4 or something, but nope. It's just street fight time.
And by the way, street fight was great.
It was great.
The Corbin match. Stuff sucked. It yes. really does. I just, someone needs to just stop this. It's not good. It's not funny. It's not interesting. It's not getting heat either. It's like, we're done here.
It's getting indifference. It's where you go to take a piss and buy a snack. Like,
yes. I don't know why we're doing it. I don't understand it. I don't think, I think Vince McMahon just sees it and he's just like, God damn, we got to put him on TV this week. And that's it. Anyway, Usos and Street Profits have a great match. Has a lot of kendo sticks and tables and stuff, as it will. Again, fun match. Montez Ford looks great. And I never want to see this match again.
No. Yeah, it's done with it.
Good news,
Dudley
Tim,
Boys reference. That was fun.
After next week, we won't have to because the Street Profits different are going brands. To Raw.
Yay.
So instead, the SmackDown Tag Team title match will be a fresh matchup of the Usos and the New Day.
Yeah.
Get excited. I love the Usos versus the
if
New
I
Day.
Must.
I love Usos versus New Day. I really don't love Usos versus New Day chapter of 970,000.
Yeah, it's never going to end at this point until one of them's dead.
Just ready for it to move on. Becky Lynch, she says she's the best. She's a god, and she's going to win a match. Becky Lynch versus Sasha Banks. They go wild. They're commercial free. This was a really friggin' good match, though. A lot of fun. They
it was,
went crazy.
Yeah.
Was there anything that did it?
No.
For you, at least?
No, I think it was good. It was good. I liked that they gave them enough time to work. But, I mean, they had the time this week. So, I thought that it was good. It was a good match.
Yeah, it was a good match. I just wrote, I tink in the chat. My bad. I meant, I think. Someone's asking about Street Profits getting a Raw tag team title match immediately. I think it's a championship contenders match.
Yeah.
I think. And then they'll win it. Oh, no. If they beat RK-Bro going into Survivor Series and it's Street Profits versus the Usos again. No!
I don't think so.
I'll never win.
Amos is over 7 feet tall. He ain't dropping a title anytime soon.
He doesn't have to. His partner can get pinned.
Oh, wait. RK-Bro.
RK-Bro's not Amos.
Oh, my God. My brain.
Take a nap, Tim. Again, good match. Just an 18-minute match. Fine by me. And then I did not like the finish. I didn't love the finish.
No, yeah, of course the finish was bad. It's SmackDown. What did you expect?
Bianca, by the way, is out on commentary. And Bianca Belair isn't saying much.
Yeah, it was quiet. There was nothing that I even remember. Like, yeah. And then she just did the hair whip on an arm, which is apparently enough to cost you a match.
I mean, that shit hurts.
Yeah, it's not going to cost you a match.
I don't have that much hair anymore. I couldn't whip you with my hair even when it was long.
It was dumb.
Either way, Sasha gets the backstabber, gets the win. Does she win on Thursday in Saudi Arabia? Who knows? We'll talk about that on Wednesday if we really want. Yeah. And then now comes Adam Pearce, and he's like, get out.
I just wanted, I hated all of that so much. I found it extremely annoying, and it was dumb. Like, it was just dumb. Adam Pearce didn't play that well, because this is not how people are. Like,
it was very strange. They don't.
It's a setup for a nothing burger of a contract sign. Like, there's just nothing.
Waste of time. I disagree. So I liked the contract signing only because Farmer Brock puts another one over on Big Roman.
I'm just concerned that this story isn't going anywhere, like, other than, oh, Roman doubts Paul Heyman. Okay. I don't care.
Again, we're going to talk about it on Wednesday, but I think there is a larger story that leads to WrestleMania with Brock and Roman with Paul involved. I do.
That's fine.
I think that the match in Saudi is going to upset some people, but I think that ultimately it's going to have and again, I don't like saying let it play out. It's not even
But yeah, like this is one of the things where it's like, fine, there's potential for good things as long as Brock is sticking around. But yeah. I don't know that that's happening. Even if he's not around week over week, he needs to be around, like, you know, a couple times a month for that to work for me, but we'll see.
Yeah. And again, I don't think that Brock is necessarily sticking around much for the rest of the year. I think it's more that the match itself is going to play into where we go for Rumble season and Mania season, and that's fine. But ultimately, I think that the Lesnar, Reigns, and Heyman dynamic is what's going to pull people in for a WrestleMania match. And there's going to be more to it than what you see this Thursday. I think that'll be the beginning of that. Okay. Yeah.
So, I'm willing to entertain that it might be very interesting. But yeah, the contract signing itself, I liked Brock no looking, just signing over everything in the contract.
Yes.
And at least McAfee just being like, I don't think he signed any line.
So Reigns is just like, you must be some kind of a dumbass, a big dumb farmer. You signed him.
You're a dummy.
Yeah, you're a big dummy. You're a big fat phony. And he says, yeah. You read it without signing it. What's wrong with you, man? And, you know, Lesnar is just like, I read it this morning with my advocate, Paul Heyman. And that's how we go off the air. Did this have to be the main event? No, but it makes sense
that
it's the main event because it's for title at the next pay-per-view. Like, it was the WWE way of doing it. It was just, this is the biggest
thing. I don't care how they, like, you can end a show with whatever. I think that was, like, if it's going somewhere, it's interesting. If it isn't, I'm annoyed. But I don't know that yet. I'll find out. I'll decide later whether or not I think that was really stupid.
I'll base my annoyance based on 10.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was SmackDown. We went through it quick because, honestly, there was a lot, but there wasn't much going on.
No, nothing compared to what I think AEW put on this week.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's it for us until Wednesday. Holy crap, we did it.
We did it.
Let's all go outside and enjoy the sun, friends.
That's exactly what I'm going to do. I don't know if it's sunny out, but I'm going to go outside.
It's sunny outside. Tim, where can people find you on the internet?
They can find me outside, not on the internet. Leave me alone. At Tim Stone, PTIMBSTONEP on Twitter if you want to contact me when it's not sunny outside.
Show is timandjoelpod.com, at timandjoelpod. We need someone to run our socials, man. If you're out there and you're on the internet and you want to run our socials, let's talk. Well, someone who's going to live tweet our stuff, because it's a handful, man. Let's get that engagement up. Let's go. Go ahead. Leave us a thumbs up on this video if you've made it this far. Thank you very much. Leave a comment. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. And our Discord is always bumping. There's a link in the video description. Okay. I am at Joel Pearl, J-O-E-L-P-E-A-R-L. Ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, enjoy the rest of the day, the week, the month, whatever. We'll see you on Wednesday, noon Eastern, timandjoelpod.com. Good night.